Our reading from today is taken from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers were sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. You may be seated.
This past Thursday, when my wife and I were driving up to the falls, I have to say there were some beautiful fall colors along the highway, especially when the sun would peek out from the clouds and they would reflect off of the gold and the yellow and the red leaves. When I think about fall, one of the things that I enjoy the most are the fall colors. How about you? What are some of the things that you really enjoy about the fall? So think about that right now, and I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, go ahead, this is audience participation time. Okay, what do we have out here? What's that? No bugs? Yes, yes, that's a praise God right there. Somebody else?
Hunting.
What is it?
Hunting.
Yes. Okay, hunting. What? Cooler. You know, reasonably though, I mean, didn't it snow this last little bit? What are some of the other things?
Spring's only 9 months away.
Spring's only 9 months away. Okay, might be living in the wrong place, I'm just saying. I mean, pumpkins, right? Pumpkin pie and all that kind of fall decorations and apple crisp. You'll notice I'm thinking about a lot of food at this point, but that's kind of how we do that. In all of your conversations, when you're talking about fall and how much the things you really enjoy, did anybody say fall cleaning? No? No? Oh, I'm disappointed. Seriously? That's not something you guys enjoy, huh? Or do it? I have to admit, I don't know what it is about this year, but for Faith and I, my wife and I, it's like we're people on a mission. Like this had to be done. Some of these things haven't been done for a while, but this wasn't just fall cleaning. It was fall purging. It was fall decluttering. We went to cupboards and closets and drawers and that kind of thing. And of course, one of the things that you do, I don't know if you guys do that here, maybe you don't even change your clothes over, but when you go from summer to fall to winter, you have to see what you have, and this is a great time to check out those things. So that's what we did. And it was a lot of work. We emptied the closets, we put the stuff on the beds, and we asked the tough questions. You know what those tough questions are? Yeah. When did you wear that last? Be honest, okay? Are you going to wear it this year? Not just because, oh, no, I like that. Yeah, sure. No, you have to, yes, I'm going to wear it. Do you even like it? Or is it just taking up space in the closet? Let's just say that Goodwill has benefited, and you're probably not sure what this is. Yes, this is a garbage bag, but many of our garbage bags were a lot fuller than this, and took those, threw them into my car, went to Goodwill there, and it was great to get rid of them. Clutter. Let's face it, there are times in our lives we just have to get rid of the clutter. We have cluttered closets, cluttered schedules, cluttered lives. And the problem with clutter, not that the stuff that we have is bad, is that it can distract you and prevent you from focusing on what's really important in life. Today in John chapter 2, in our encounters with Jesus, Jesus encounters clutter. And one of the things that he focuses on is he moves into the center of Israel's greatest festival, the Passover, and he didn't expect to find it where he found it. So why don't you pull out your outline, and let me give you a little background as we talk about John 2 and Passover this morning. The Passover, of course, was the national gathering of God's people in Jerusalem to celebrate their deliverance from Egypt and their birth as a nation. You can find that in Exodus chapter 12. Every year, they gathered to remember the first Passover, when the Passover lamb, a lamb without spot or blemish, had been sacrificed, and remember, the blood was placed over the doorposts of the Hebrew homes so that the angel of death would pass over them and spare them and set them free. Every year, thousands of Jews from all over the Roman Empire came together to Jerusalem to the temple to offer sacrifices in thanksgiving and remembrance to God for Passover. Well, imagine what that scene would have been like. I mean, people everywhere, noise. I don't know, maybe it's like here when you have opening fishing. I don't know what this town, but I'm imagining this town can get a little crazy. Well, that's what Jerusalem was like. Maybe people were visiting and eating with old friends. And that's great. Outside the temple, but not inside the temple. The temple was a place reserved for the worship of God. And in order to help us understand what's happening in John chapter 2, let's take a closer look at the temple this morning, beginning with the purpose of the temple. The purpose of the temple. The temple was the house of God, an earthly counterpart of the heavenly sanctuary. Here, the Ark of the Covenant, containing the Ten Commandments, was housed. The temple was a place of worship. Write that down, worship. Isaiah 6, Isaiah had a vision of God in his heavenly temple. His vision kind of gives us an inside view of what that temple was like and what the temple had come to represent to the people of God. Isaiah saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. God was surrounded by angelic beings, and they were calling out to him, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." The temple was a place of splendor, of overwhelming magnificence. Although Herod's temple in Jerusalem paled in comparison to the heavenly temple, it was still impressive. Although we find it took builders 46 years to construct the temple, and it was magnificent for its day. It was a place reserved for the worship of God. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he immediately became aware of his own sin and his unworthiness to be in God's presence. In that sense, the Jerusalem temple was also a place that prepared people for worship. It was a place where God dealt with the sin of his people through the offering of sacrifices. Well, in Jesus' time, sacrifices for sin were made in the temple. That was the reason for all the animals. It was a place where blood was spilt for the forgiveness of sin. The temple was a place of prayer. Isaiah prayed a prayer of confession in God's presence and was cleansed. When King Solomon dedicated the first temple in Jerusalem, he prayed to God, "May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place." The temple was a place where people could come before God and they could pray, just like we prayed this morning. They could pray for forgiveness. They could pray for healing. They could pray for help. They could pray for hope. They could pray for provision. God's house is a house of prayer. The temple was a place of outreach. Part of the temple, the outer court, was the place reserved for Gentile worship. Because God is the God of all people, of all nations, outreach is the natural part of true worship. All are invited. All are welcome. God wants all people to be saved and to enter into his kingdom. God wants all people to live in a close and loving relationship with him, resulting in heartfelt worship. When you begin to understand the purpose of the temple, you can begin to understand why Jesus was so upset with the problem in the temple. Look at verses 13 and 14. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. Jesus walked into the temple expecting an atmosphere of worship. Here was a place where people were consecrating themselves to God. And instead, he found the opposite. He didn't find consecration. He found clutter. He discovered it to be a loud and boisterous marketplace. In the middle of this high and holy festival, they actually had a rigged business operation that was going on that was tied in with the whole temple system. Let me give you some background. Every Jew over 19 years of age had to pay his yearly temple tax of a half shekel. That was equivalent to 2 days' wages. The Gentile coins from Rome or Greece or Egypt or even Palestine, they were too unclean to pay this temple tax. So they had to be exchanged for half a shekel, the half shekel. Well, the hidden cost of this exchange equaled another day's wages. There was also the cost of purchasing sheep and oxen or dove for the sacrifices. These came from the temple herds or flocks, and they were outrageously overpriced because the religious leaders had a corner on the market. Now, you know what that corner on the market's like, don't you? This last summer, we had the privilege of a lot of our family going to a Twins game. Now, I'm a Twins fan. I'm sure we got a lot of Twins fans. But you notice when you go into Target Field, do you bring picnic baskets?
Nope.
No. You can't bring your own food or drink, correct? So that you can purchase it there at very reasonable prices. No. They have a corner on the market. So you pay through the nose. You know what that's like, right? Well, that's what was happening here. Little wonder the temple treasury was full and overflowing. One commentator pointed out that when the Roman general Crassus captured Jerusalem, he raided the temple treasury in 54 BC. He made off with almost $10 million. Now, back in that day, that was a lot of money. I don't know, it's a lot of money today, isn't it? $10 million, which only put a small dent in the temple treasury. But even at that, that was not Jesus' main concern. And so I have to ask myself, what was the cause of Jesus' anger? Jesus was outraged at what was happening in his Father's house. The main business of the temple was not to be business. The main business of the temple was worship and prayer. The main business was repentance and confession. The main business was fresh starts and life change. The main business was not man's business, but God's business. Isaiah 56, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Jesus was calling his people back to God. So let me ask you a question. Let's do a little application here. What do you think would happen if Jesus were to show up at our church? Oh, we're expecting him to be here, but I mean in the flesh, to come walking down the aisle. What do you think would impress him about our worship? What do you think would sadden him? What do you think would anger him? What do you think would bless him and make his heart glad? I mean, think about that. Be honest. What would Jesus think about our worship? The time that we spend focusing on him every Sunday, the heart that we put into our worship. What would Jesus think about our compassion for hurting and broken people? What about our concern for lost people? What would Jesus think about our prayers? Is God's house a house of prayer here at High Falls Covenant? The problem in the temple was that it was business as usual. But if the local church is the hope of the world, then there's nothing usual about our business. Did you hear that? If the local church is the hope of the world, there's nothing usual about our business. We need to be about kingdom business, first and foremost, doing God's work God's way, seeking to honor God in all that we do, so that this church can truly be a house of prayer for all the nations. So we've seen the purpose of the temple and the problem in the temple, and into that atmosphere and that situation walked the prophet in the temple. Verses 15 and 16. "So he made a whip out of cords, drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, 'Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?'" Well, the scene was dramatic. It was provocative. It was upsetting. It was disturbing. Furniture was broken. Animals went running. Coins flew from their scales. And this response was, let's face it, was so unlike Jesus, who loved the little children and had them sit tenderly on his lap, who felt compassion for the multitudes, who healed the sick. What's amazing about this whole encounter is that no one argued with Jesus about what he did. Many likely knew that he was right. And they knew that in the temple, it had become a noisy marketplace. Its worship had been compromised. They sensed, too, something of God's divine and righteous anger at work in Jesus. In calling them to account, Jesus was the voice of the prophet. And when you think of a prophet, You know, one of the things, prophets point out sin. They call people back to God. But that's not all they do. Prophets also point to the promise of God for an amazing future. Look at verses 19 to 22. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Although no one really understood what Jesus was talking about at this time, he was pointing forward. He was pointing to the crucifixion and the resurrection. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as the Lamb of God, the whole Passover sacrificial system would be changed. John 1:29, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as the Lamb of God, the relationship with Almighty God would change. No more blood of bulls and sheep. No more buying doves and temple taxes. No more cheating people. No more clutter in God's house. Only an impersonal encounter with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You know, my friends, I really don't know how many bags we filled up with clutter this last fall. But boy, did it ever feel good to get rid of that stuff. Just to feel free and to get that stuff from out from underfoot. And so let me ask you today, what's cluttering up your life? What's cluttering up your life so that you have such little time and energy for what really counts? For worship and prayer and service. You need to know something this morning, that good is the worst enemy of the best. Good is the worst enemy of the best. As believers, we all know what we should be doing. We all know what we could be doing. But our lives can become so full of clutter that we never get around to it. Oh, we feel badly, but we just don't seem to have the time. So how do we go about clearing the clutter? You know, unfortunately, I wish this morning I could pass out bags like this and we could take all of our spiritual clutter and we could just throw it in the bags and the ushers would come and they would take the bags out of here and we could say, "Yes, that's great. I feel so free." Fortunately, that's not the way it works. But there are some things that we can do. I want you to write these down. One, you can identify the clutter in your life. You can identify the clutter in your life. We put clothes on the bed so we could understand what we were dealing with. It gave us perspective. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the clutter in your life. Make a list of those things that take your time and attention and prevent you from fully living for God. Now, it could be good things. But are they God things? It could be good things, but are they God things? Identify the clutter in your life, first of all. Secondly, start small. Say no to something that has no eternal significance so that you can say yes to something that does. Maybe that means turning off the TV for a couple of hours and attending the prayer meeting here on Monday morning or Monday evening. There's a lot of things to be praying about. Or maybe turning off the TV and you can show up here Wednesday night because there's a lot of volunteering that could happen with Awana and a lot of other important ministries. You could make a difference for eternity. And then trust God for a fresh start. Take baby steps. Maybe it's taking baby steps in your quiet time that you don't feel very good where you are with God. Even 5 minutes in the Word. Ask God to show you what spiritual gifts and passions that you have and where to use them. Try them out. See what happens. I want you to know, and I hope that's the atmosphere here. I think that's what it is at I Falls Covenant, is try out a ministry. And if you say, oh, that was horrible, that's okay. Try out something else. You just take something off the list that didn't belong there. Today, in John 2, Jesus cleared out the temple so that his people could once again experience life-changing worship and prayer and fellowship with God. Right now, let's ask Jesus to clear away all those things in our lives that need to go. What sins need to be confessed? What clutter needs to be thrown away? So that we as God's people can be renewed in our relationship with him and fulfill our God-given calling to be the hope of the world. In Jesus' name. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, as we come before you today, we pray that you would forgive us for those sins in our lives. And some of those sins can be besetting sins. They might not even be the big sins, but they are enough to hold us back and to separate us from sensing your approval and leading in our lives. Forgive our besetting sins. Today, however, our focus is not so much on sin. Sometimes it's that we have too many good things in our life, but not enough God things. We are so busy doing stuff and running places and buying things and sorting things and maybe storing things that we have very little time to do what matters for eternity. What about our prayer life? Lord, I know that all of us can fall short there. Help us to pray as individuals. Help us to pray as families. Help us to pray as a church family. Lord, there are people in this community who are broken, who are hurting, and they simply need somebody to come alongside of them and love them and show them Jesus before they ever hear maybe the word about Jesus. Lord, I know that we can all do that. Put that love in our hearts. Help us to turn our back on some of those good things in our lives, to focus on God things, and give you glory and honor. It's in your name we pray.